This is InfoStar with Rob Stadler. Now back to the show on Star 94 FM and 790 The Zone, WQXI AM.
Over the past 10 years, we've seen an independence movement in Metro Atlanta. New cities have formed to take back tax money and resources from counties. Fulton County has seen it happen in Sandy Springs, Johns Creek, Milton, and Chattahoochee Hills, likewise in DeKalb and the cases of Dunwoody and Brookhaven. But now is the independence movement spilling over into schools? Dunwoody City Council has passed a resolution calling to make its own city school system a high priority in the legislature. With us on the line to talk about the obstacles to creating a breakaway school district is State Representative Tom Taylor, who represents Dunwoody and parts of Chamblee and Doraville. Tom, thanks for being our guest on InfoStar.
Oh, glad to be here.
In the case of Dunwoody, why would it want to create its own school district?
I think the past few years, the DeKalb County school system has been slowly degrading to the point where now you've seen Sachs has put them on probation. That's the last step before loss of accreditation. To me, it's really an economic development issue here. We've managed to attract corporate headquarters here within the city of Dunwoody, really reached out with the economic development issues. The difficulty is when you have a failing school system, when a company's looking to move here, you can have a great city infrastructure, a great business environment. The next thing they look at is a failing school system or one that appears to be in a lot of trouble and tend to look somewhere else.
Give us the backstory, the history on the process of capping school districts in Georgia.
Basically, decades ago, there was a move by the counties to basically eliminate the competition. And right now, the cap, a constitutional amendment that was passed, the cap in Georgia is 180 school systems. And that's basically 159 county systems and 21 city school systems that were grandfathered in. The older systems like Atlanta and Decatur are good examples of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you also have Marietta, Gainesville, and Cartersville. So they were all grandfathered in.
Correct.
So what must be done with the Constitution to change all this?
Basically, it requires a state constitutional amendment, which would undo that cap, you know, basically take the cap of 180 off and allow independent school systems to form. This is definitely a difficult process. You know, amending the Constitution is difficult by nature, and it should be. This would require me to get 120 votes in the House and 2/3 vote in the Senate. Then it would have to go on a statewide ballot, which it's a big hurdle. As, like I said, as well, changing the Constitution should be difficult and not done arbitrarily. But we're at a point here where we've got the third largest school system in the state absolutely at the brink of failure, and the folks here want to change that, and I'm willing to go ahead and fight that fight.
And you plan to introduce a bill?
Yeah, probably within the next couple of weeks. I'm working with a citizens group here as well as the Dunwoody City Council at looking at the framework on that, and I will probably be dropping that within the next couple of weeks here.
Well, walk us through the process if you can.
Okay, well, the bill gets drawn up. It might not be totally fleshed out, but basically it has to be introduced in 1 year of a 2-year session, and then if it goes to fruition in the following year. So basically this year I'm introducing the bill. That'll get assigned to a committee. We'll probably have hearings, possibly this year, possibly next session, and then hopefully it moves forward. That's the normal process. At that point, if it gets a floor vote, again, it's a very, very difficult thing to get 120 votes in the House and then 2/3 in the Senate, basically. You look at the charter bill that passed narrowly last year, it's a big hurdle. So get past that, it would go on a statewide ballot referendum in November of 2014, if it's successful.
And if it doesn't get that far, basically you're planting the seed.
Yes, very much so. I mean, this is analogous to the cityhood movements. At one point, we were glad to be part of DeKalb County, as a lot of the Fulton County cities were to be in Fulton, but we got to a point where we felt we were contributing a lot and getting very little in services, and we're at that point with the school system, too, right now. And I think all of the recently incorporated cities have proven that they've been successful. All of them are running surpluses in counties that are failing.
What kind of opposition do you expect?
I think it's going to be pretty intense. You're talking about in DeKalb County, just from the county side, the property taxes that go to the school board make up about 65-70% of most people's property tax bills. Shifting that from the county to a city school system is going to cause a lot of resistance. I also expect a lot from outside the metro area. Smaller school systems that don't have problems see this as a local issue, even though we've got 100,000 students there and there are systems in the state that have 800 or 900. So I think I'm going to have some opposition, definitely strong opposition from outside the metro area as well.
Tom, what kind of momentum do you predict for this effort?
Basically, I think, you know, we're going to make a big push on this. We're not going to be complacent. Years ago, people, when we started to form the cities and I was involved with the startup of the city of Dunwoody, a lot of people said, hey, this will happen when pigs fly. Well, pigs have flown with the cities, and I'm hoping to launch another one here.
And before we let you go, what do you see in the immediate future of DeKalb schools?
You know, the 21st of this month, the State Board of Education is going to have another hearing with the DeKalb County school system, and I do expect, based on the results of the last meeting, that they're going to recommend that the governor remove the board. And the governor actually can't do that selectively. He has to remove the entire board, even the newly elected folks that have served, you know, a month and a half. That's just going to create, I think, more consternation. It's a very emotional issue with parents worried about their kids going through accredited schools. Again, it's a huge economic development issue, and frankly, there are great board members on there, but we also have a board member riding herd over, you know, almost $1 billion budget who's a convicted felon and just got reelected.
We've been speaking with State Representative Tom Taylor, who represents Dunwoody, parts of Chamblee, and Doraville on the prospect of Dunwoody schools breaking away to form their own district. Tom, thanks for coming on InfoStar.
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you very much.
You're listening to InfoStar on Star 94 FM and 790 The Zone, WQXI AM.
Drinking too much alcohol has become a major national health problem. 1 in 6 U.S. adults participates in binge drinking, and about 80,000 people die each year from complications related to drinking too much. And it's not just men who are doing it. The CDC's Dr. Bob Gaines has more.
For many people, drinking alcohol is a regular part of social occasions, but moderation is important. Excessive alcohol consumption can lead to serious health and social problems. A recent report found that binge drinking is common among women and girls. Dr. Daphna Kenny is a senior scientist with CDC's alcohol program in the National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. She's joining us to discuss the dangers of binge drinking. Daphna, how many women and girls die each year from excessive alcohol use?
Excessive alcohol use causes about 23,000 deaths in women and girls each year.
Define binge drinking for us.
Binge drinking is a dangerous behavior that is defined for women as consumption of 4 or more alcoholic drinks on an occasion, 5 or more for men. An occasion is generally considered to be about 2 to 3 hours. Binge drinking is the most common and most deadly pattern of excessive alcohol use.
What are the characteristics of women who engage in binge drinking?
14 million, or 1 in 8 women, binge drink 3 times a month, averaging about 6 drinks per binge. 1 in 5 high school girls binge drink. Binge drinking is most common in young women and high school girls, whites and Hispanics, and women with incomes of $75,000 or more annually. Most binge drinkers are not alcohol dependent.
For women and girls, what are some possible negative consequences of binge drinking?
Binge drinking increases risk of injuries, violence, breast cancer, heart disease, sexually transmitted diseases, and unintended pregnancy. Drinking during pregnancy can lead to sudden infant death syndrome and fetal alcohol spectrum disorders.
Daphna, what is considered moderate alcohol consumption?
If you choose to drink, the U.S. dietary guidelines recommend moderation, up to 1 drink per day for women or up to 2 drinks per day for men.
For women who are having a problem with their drinking, what should they do?
Each of us can make a choice not to binge drink. If you have friends who binge drink, share them the risks of binge drinking and set a good example. You can also talk to your healthcare provider about it.
Where can listeners get more information about binge drinking?
You can find more information on excessive alcohol use and binge drinking at the CDC's alcohol program website at cdc.gov/alcohol.
This is InfoStar with Rob Stadler on Star 94 FM and 790 The Zone, WQXI AM.
Coming up, we'll help you clean out that filing cabinet, what to shred and what to keep, next on InfoStar.